RDU 98.5, and you have tuned in to another Audio Antiquing. And on today's show, we have the incredible Gareth Shute, who's going to be talking about his audio culture article, Heavy Metal Aotearoa Timeline. So, Gareth, how are you going?
Kia ora, good morning. Yeah, we're still, audio cultures hasn't got too much heavy metal stuff, so over the last couple of years, we've been really trying to focus on that area. So this timeline's a good way to just get an overall coverage, and you can see, connect to what we've got and, you know, fill in a few gaps.
Love it. I love filling in a few gaps. But, you know, right on the start here, you know, 1970, the Human Instincts proto-metal. Heavy metal can be traced back to the heavy blues of English groups like Led Zeppelin and The Who. As amps became louder, guitar riffs could dominate a band sound like never before. The Human Instincts guitarist Billy TK used a Marshall stack to blast out his Hendrick-like playing, which incorporated layers of distortion and wah-wah. I love that. Like, do you want to just describe that a little bit more? Because I think for a lot of new artists as well, a lot of people are actually going after the Marshall stack. I know quite a few people in my own circle.
Well, it's a funny thing, like heavy metal, I guess it's the same with rock and roll or dance music or whatever. It didn't have one particular starting point in a way. It was just like a development of what was happening before, which was basically that sort of bluesy psychedelic rock of the 60s was just getting heavier and heavier, and there's like a live album by The Who and stuff where they sound particularly, the guitars sound particularly distorted just because how they sounded live. And so really the first sort of signs of heavy metal in New Zealand as well were bands that you wouldn't have thought of as heavy metal at the time, but they were just you know, hearing the hard end of Hendrix and just playing that heavier blues where it really started to get noisy. You know, there's a couple of like 10-minute Human Instinct songs where the guitar really is just taking over and it's really distorted and full on. And the other thing, I guess, with technology is always influences music in ways you don't always think of. And that's definitely true with how that heavy sound came through, because the amplification just got so much bigger. And so, yeah, Billy TK stood out as a guitarist because he had a massive Marshall stacks, but then local producers like Jansen and Holden started doing stacks as well. And so bands like Ticket and Highway, those sort of blues bands, got more and more heavy sounding. And then as overseas bands came, like Led Zeppelin and then Black Sabbath being the big one,
totally.
We really got a taste of what it was.
Yeah. And do you think that there's always kind of been a, I guess, like a big audience for heavy metal in New Zealand? Or do you think it's kind of, it once was super prominent and it's kind of dipped away? Like, what are your thoughts?
Well, that's the interesting thing about the timeline, because, yeah, it goes through waves. I mean, that first wave around Black Sabbath, I mean, they sort of headlined Sweetwater, so they were very popular, and they tried to like burn an upside down cross and across on stage, but it wouldn't light in the cold weather, and so they had to like put all like flammable liquids on it and stuff. But that really built up. So around 1980, there was like a big metal scene in Wellington that was, yeah, and partly based on the new wave of British heavy metal that's all Iron Maiden and those bands. So there was like different peaks over time. But then, you know, that stuff we'd probably think of as hard rock now, because it was very, it's more like Def Leppard or something, because you know those bands that are like, yeah, they're kind of hard rocky. They don't have that sort of satanic element. That was kind of sometimes separate, you know, like the video I have on there, there's one by Timberjack, Come to the Sabbath, which was pretty funny to look at because it does have like nudity and stuff. It's got like a sacrifice. But it was like, actually the music was quite twee and sort of folky or whatever, but it looks like a black metal video, and it did show on New Zealand TV. It obviously got banned almost immediately, but that was like in the 70s.
Damn.
But interestingly, Christchurch was one place where the more extreme metal came through in the late 80s. So there was a guy called Bruce Ray who had a t-shirt shop called Ace T-Shirt Factory. And he started Grunt Records, and Grunt Records was just a couple of little tables of like cassettes, of metal cassettes that he'd bring in. Oh. But he had these like listening sessions every Friday night, and he became well known enough that he was given a slot on this TV show C4. So he actually got on national TV quite late at night and started playing metal.
Wow.
And all these Christchurch metal bands came out around the late 80s, early 90s. So there was a real peak there.
Mm.
And if anyone's listening and knows someone who was involved in that scene, it'd be great if someone from that scene was able to write an article about that for Audio Culture. That's, you know, I don't feel like I know enough about it, but it was a cool. Some of the bands that came out, like Sinistris, Diabolus, that's still like this cult album that people love. But yeah, definitely in the 90s, it died out again, I guess, because of grunge and new metal and all these other things.
New metal and grunge really did kick off in the 90s, didn't it? I mean, even when you think about, you know, Pumpkinhead from New Zealand and stuff as well, like they were pretty huge for it too.
Yeah, it's kind of got really hard to tell the line between sort of metal and that hard rock style and sort of grunge indie music. So, you know, Soundgarden stuff looked quite metal. And so you could see why Pumpkinhead, you know, I guess if they'd arrived 10 years earlier, they definitely would have been considered a metal band, but they're an indie band.
No.
And like She Had, you know, had started really metal. They had this industrial metal album done by Jazz Coleman, and they were actually thrash metal on that very first EP.
Yeah.
But they looked like real sort of grunge by mid-90s. Like, I think John Tuco could cut his hair short for a little while. And, you know, it's funny how. Yeah.
Oh,
so the timeline, yeah, it has a little gap in the end of the 90s, like a five-year gap where I couldn't find anything to put.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have to, I think there's a few bands. I'm actually having quite a good convo on the New Zealand Metal Facebook group. So if anyone's interested, look at the timeline on Audio Culture. But yeah, if you have things to point out, come on the NZ Metal Facebook group post. And I've been talking to people there about what to put in and whether to add, subtract in some of those late 90s groups.
I love that. Because one thing that I just wanted to talk about before we wrapped up was the fact that Satan Fest kicked off in 1992. So the Christchurch metal scene grew to a point where it had its own festival every Halloween, Satan Fest. Can we talk more about that? That's crazy.
I know, and it went for ages as well. It just shows how that one sort of key small scene that started in Christchurch in that late 80s sparked this thing that kept going for a really long time, to the point where it might have died down a bit, but it still became a focal point where all the main metal bands from New Zealand would play there. And it was good in the 90s. Even though metal was pushed underground, there was this tape trading scene around the world and stuff. So people would send their cassettes of New Zealand bands overseas, and they'd get a cult reputation in these little zines and stuff. And so, yeah, bands like 8 Foot Sativa and Dawn of Azazel and stuff did do quite well in the early 2000s. But I guess one of the funnier videos you should watch on there is Blindfolded and Led to the Woods. I think they're Christchurch band, aren't they?
Yes, I'm pretty sure they are. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah. There's a funny video on the timeline. I mean, this is a timeline for like a broader audience. So, you know, there's some fun stuff in there just for your general reader. And one thing is Blindfolded and Led to the Woods used to practice around the corner from the kids' TV show, Aaron Simpson's show, and the producers heard them. And so they invited them in to play on this kids show. And so there's this video on YouTube that's still going viral to this day of them playing on it. And it's so hilarious. And they're still a very active and well-respected band. They've made a whole career off the back of it, even if they had visa issues, I think, to get to the US lately.
Yeah. No, but yeah, then like obviously, the visa issues, which is crazy.
But I think, if people see the timeline, then they can get the sense of how there was a big metal scene that came and went, but is sort of thriving now and has made it possible for bands like Alien Weaponry and Shepherd's Reign and Beast Wars and stuff. And Ulcerate is another one who do really well overseas. So, it's interesting to plot their path and see that it's actually quite a healthy place at the moment.
Yeah, an incredible article, Gareth. You've done very well. You've done very well for yourself. Thanks so much for talking about it.
Yeah, go on and find out about the New Zealander who's in mega famous metal band Dragon Force, or watch those funny videos where you know, the mainstream media deign to try and cover metal because there's a couple of good videos on there.
There's a couple of goodies, yeah. Isn't there?
Yeah, oh, it's a fun timeline.
Totally. And, you know, Gareth is completely right. To anybody who is listening, if you can know how to fill in some of these gaps in the metal timeline, feel free to, jump on that the Metal Facebook page, Metal New Zealand Facebook page.
Yeah, I think it's NZ Metal.
NZ Metal.
You'll find it. Or even just the audio culture, just message audio culture if you have suggestions, but via Facebook or Instagram or how, whichever handle you use, or message me directly because, yeah, it's kind of a work in progress and, I'd love to get it so everyone's happy.
Oh, wicked, Gareth. I love that. You know, you're going to do it, mate. You're going to do it.
As happy as metalers can get.
Yeah, hey, that's very true, isn't it? But no, thank you so much for your time today, Gareth, and thank you so much for writing this article. It was really fun chatting about it, as always.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Yeah, check it out on Audio Culture, and I'll talk to you guys next time.
Wicked. RDU 98.5, and that has been Gareth Shute talking about his incredible wee article, you know, the New Zealand Metal Timeline, up on Audio Culture. Feel free to read it now. Feel free to listen to this one back again. And also feel free to contact him if you know how to fill in some of those gaps, because it's a very fun wee timeline, and he's right. There's a lot of goodies in here. Awesome. Thanks so much, team. RDU.